I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. Today on the podcast, I have Mike Murphy back with me. Mike is my husband, and it's been a while since he's been on the podcast. So a big welcome back to you, Mike.
I'm glad to be here.
I am really glad to have you.
You sent me into exile. Was it something I said?
I just had plenty of other guests. You're my fallback. No, but you know what? Here's the deal. Here's the real deal. How wonderful to have someone who can step in at a moment's notice and have great content. So I am always very grateful to have you step into this spot of being a guest.
All right, but sometimes you tell me to shut up.
That's off. That's off the podcast. Hey, listen, one of the things, and if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you've heard my son join the conversation before, John Lustria. And one of the things that he says is that he's the advocate for the listener. He said that I don't talk about emails enough and don't ask for emails enough. I'm going to read a couple of them before we get going today. But I do want to just say before I do that, stick around because we're going to talk about something very important today. Obviously, people can listen to podcasts and download them whenever, but as we're recording it, just in the past week or two, we have had a couple of high-profile people who have taken their lives by suicide. And we are going to talk a little bit about that. We know that there are many, many others, sadly, who have done the same thing that don't have the same notoriety.
That's right.
And so they're not in the news and talked about, and yet people's hearts are breaking, people very close to them that have died in that way. So we're going to come back and talk about suicide and kind of a wide variety of things that surrounds that. And I'll talk about the resource that is up on the website this week as well. So just want you to know that. But before that, I want to let people know that you can always communicate with me, Mike, any of my guests, because I can forward emails on to them, and always happy to do that, by emailing producer@anitalustria.com, producer@anitalustria.com. I'm grateful many of you have chosen to also give to the podcast, to donate to the ongoing expenses of the podcast. I've said this before, but it's not tax deductible. So I'm especially grateful for those that have chosen to donate because you know that. And the way you do that is through PayPal. And again, that email address that you use for PayPal is also producer@anitalustria.com. Some of you prefer to write a check. I fully understand that. If you do, you can mail it to Anita Lustria, 8 White Oak Terrace, Sarasota, Florida, 34237. So with that out of the way, let me read a couple of these emails that have come in. It's always fun to hear from folks. And I know some of you comment on Facebook when I post the podcast, which let me just add this to Mike. It really helps. I know you do this every week, but you kind of have to because you're my husband and I make you. But it really helps to repost or to share the link to the podcast when you see it come out and if it's one that you've particularly appreciated, or even if you just like the podcast in general, share it on your Facebook page. It really does help. So there. So thank you for sharing it.
You're welcome. You don't give me much choice.
Yeah, well, that's what I said.
You look over my shoulder.
I'll just say, Mike, it's time to... Well, and you do that for your rumblings. I post your Friday rumblings, which I very much do believe in. And if you've not seen Mike's rumblings, it's a combination each week of wonderful quotes of Christian spiritual thought. And they really do make you think. And sometimes you delve into the political. And I'm sure there are people who... like all aspects, and some that like some aspects more than others, but that we have choice on the interwebs. We can like and dislike whatever we want, right?
They're less of a fan of some of the things I post.
But if you can see Mike's Friday rumblings. I repost them on Friends of Midday as well as my own page, so you can see them there or friend him. Well, this came in from Luann. She said, Anita, I used to listen to Midday Connection. I especially enjoyed the book club with Dr. Rosalie Desrosiers. I've continued to try to read 10 books from her recommended reading list every year, which I think is amazing. But I find there are books that she's recommended that I find difficult to understand, which I totally get. And she gave me a couple of examples of that. But what was really nice for me to be able to go on and to email back to Luann and tell her is that Lori Neff and I are going to start a book club here on Faith Conversations.
I didn't know that.
Did you know that? Have I not told you this?
You have not, or either that or something that I pretended to listen.
Yeah, right, when I was talking, and yeah, you pretended. That's funny. Not really. Yes, in fact, we are currently reading, so I want to let you know this, because down the road, you know, not that far down the road, we're going to talk about When Mockingbirds Sing. It's by Billy Coffey. Billy Coffey, C-O-F-F, as in Frank, E-Y, When Mockingbirds Sing. So check that out, and we're going to be talking about that book. Lori's finished it. I'm in the process of reading it. Feel free to read and join us, and I'll try and, you know, give you a heads up. Well, it doesn't matter on a podcast. You can find when it is and download it at any time.
That's right.
I forget that. This is not live radio anymore.
It is not live radio.
My son, John, tells me all the time, Mom, it doesn't work like live radio. It's not live radio. Quit trying to make it live radio. Okay. Well, Luann, thanks for your email, and I'm going to forward this on to Rosie because I know she will appreciate hearing from you as well.
Well, you know what I appreciate about what she said, though? She's got this discipline.
Yes.
Of digging in and reading, you know, in Rosie's
good
list.
Good literature, yeah.
Yeah, good literature. Some of it, you know, I don't like either. That's not the point. But you dig in and read some stuff that really has some value.
Yeah.
And I'm a big proponent, too, of reading stuff that just is stupid.
It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm reading Dorothy Gilman books right now, Mrs. Polifax Mysteries. And I'll tell you, can I tell you why I love these? I'll probably talk to Lori about this too, because she's over 60. I'm not yet. I just turned 58. But Mrs. Polifax is over 60 and has become a CIA agent and is having great adventures. And I fancy myself a, you know, a Mrs. Polifax.
Wow.
Sort of.
I met somebody recently that was an NCIS agent.
Retired NCIS agent. Yep. I know. Lives in our community.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, I agree with you about reading good literature, and I think the more we read it, the more easy it becomes for us to see and understand the deeper themes.
Yes.
You know, when we first start, sometimes it's a little tricky, but the more we read it, I think we develop new eyes and ears.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we can become addicted very easily to, like, network news. Not network news, cable news.
Cable news, yes.
And and just get all kinds of junk in our heads.
Or any television or Netflix is, you know, good as that can be from time to time. And we cease reading.
We cease reading. And we cease watching things that'll help us to grow.
Yeah.
I remember when we went on a binge a while back to watch just everything that had to do with the apartheid, the race and reconciliation
trials
commission,
in South
and
Africa,
then, and then even some of the history in our own country of racial injustice.
Yes,
and that was good for us. Not always easy to watch.
No, but
it was
good.
Very, very good for us. And there's so many good movies out there
that highlight things like that.
Yes,
absolutely. Thanks for mentioning that as well. Well, let me move on to, let me just read this email or portions of it. This comes from Trish, who's a podcast listener. And if you've not downloaded the podcast, Melinda and I talk with John Lustria moderating that podcast. And he brings some very helpful things to the table as a historian, which I appreciate. We were responding to a hard email that came in that said some difficult things, but we felt that those things were very important to look over and to think through and think about. I think when you receive criticism, don't you think we always need to look at that, especially if people sign their name?
Yes.
I think that's important. And to wrestle with it. You know, you may agree, you may disagree, or there may be parts of it that are more true than other parts, et cetera. But it's important for us to look at it. So we spent a podcast, read that email on the podcast, and then responded to it. So Trish says, first of all, thank you. to you know, responding to this particular email, there was courage, vulnerability, humility, honesty, and grace in all of it, especially from you and Melinda, since most was your experiences. John's comments and mediating was very appreciated, too, and added to the validity of it all. It had me flashing back to when I used to listen daily to Midday Connection, and especially to the Milrose Club. For those who were not Midday listeners in the past, the Milrose Club was a specific broadcast that we did on Fridays, where we brought several topics. There were four people on mic, and part of the purpose was to not always agree and to model how to disagree respectfully, because I think that's important. Mike, your rumblings on Fridays on Facebook, not everyone agrees, but it's important to be able to disagree respectfully. I love the dialogue that happens sometimes in the comments section after your rumblings.
Yes. Well, I think that's always helpful. It's not for the faint of heart, though, because there's some very bright people that read my things, and sometimes people jump in with their...
Oh, very bright people, yes.
Yeah, very bright mm-hmm. people, and they get caught in traps because, you know, they pretend they're like on a cable news network, which allows anything to come out of people's mouths. Mm. And sometimes when you put it down on paper, you got to be extra careful.
Yes, and I realize I will post things thinking, oh, this is harmless, and then I will get a stream of comments that I am not always prepared to respond to.
No.
Now, I'm okay if they're kind-hearted but raising another side to things,
right.
Because it's easy for me to post and think, oh, this is the only side because it's the side I agree with or believe in. And no, there are other sides to an issue, but we do need to learn how to talk together in a respectful way. And sometimes we do have to agree to disagree because we each believe firmly in our viewpoint, and that's okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so I stopped there to explain the Milrose Club, and we kind of got into all that. And then she went on to tell about how she would find a place to park her car and listen while she ate on the run, etc. I feel as though I was growing and being challenged in my faith journey at the same time, and in some of the very same ways that you and your guests were experiencing and talking about. And I hope that I do the same thing here on this podcast. And I think that Trish has said that before, or actually maybe goes on to say that here. It's a lengthy email, so I'm just kind of grabbing parts of it. But she went on to say, during this season for me, I'd been very involved in my local church, especially in leadership roles, began to sense much of the rigidness and discouraging of imagination from the church and from evangelicalism in general. In some ways, I began to feel stifled by that, and began at the same time to experience more and more of the kingdom of God and the vastness of God's love. I wondered what was being held back from me by the church, and Midday was revealing, encouraging, refreshing for me, led me to an even further increase of God's glory, his essence being revealed to me and me experiencing him. I'm so grateful that you kept moving forward. What if we had all, this was interesting to me. She poses two or three questions here. What if we had all stayed in the status quo? What if Paul had? What if Jesus had? What if we didn't change, didn't transform? We would not be becoming more Christ-like, more who he created us and called us to be. And she goes on to say, Melinda touched on this a bit also. I liked how she talked about needing to continue self-examination and even critique. And she made special note of remembering, I think John said this, you still probably know less than you really do, which I appreciated, you know. And you know, she just talked about how some of it was all warning to her as well. And she said, I know, as Melinda admitted about herself, that I have sounded arrogant at other times, but also recognize that it was because of my new freedom and moving into new beliefs, et cetera. And, you know, we have these struggles. Anyway, she goes on and says many more things in this email. I just wanted to highlight some of them and to say how grateful I was, because she was very thoughtful in her response.
Right. Well, I think that really is a thoughtful response. You know, we're going through a new sermon series at our church. And the pastor quoted, and I forget who it was, but he said...
Richard Foster,
mm-hmm. Celebrations of Discipline.
And this is from his book, just simply titled Prayer.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Is that, okay.
Yes.
But Foster said, to pray is to change. And I think a lot
five
of times,
words, only five words,
to pray
powerful.
Is to change. Mm. You know, and then he went on to say, you know, Jacob prayed and he never walked the same again.
Oh, I know it. Just,
yeah. You know, it. And the thing is I think people of faith, oftentimes they can stay put and feel like they're being obedient to God. And I don't know if that's the case. I think we're always on the move. We're always people on the move, people on a mission, people on our way someplace. And I love the name of that book. You know, Jeff Mannion's.
Is it the land in between?
Land in between,
something like that.
You know,
yeah.
Between the promised land and the.
Did you read that book?
Yeah,
is it a good one?
Yeah, I think it was really worth doing it because I think that's where we spend a lot of our life on,
I think you're right.
on the journey. Mm. And usually I find when people are really so sure about themselves, about everything, I'm not sure I could put the label Christian on them.
Mm. Wow.
Because there's nothing that says that they're open to change, even though they say they're prayerful.
Okay. Okay, I hear you. I think
prayer does mean that we do change along the way.
Well, I've had conversations lately with more than one spiritual direction client about prayer because it's mystery. It can be frustrating at times because of things that we specifically pray for. But I think the piece that we forget sometimes is that we change through the process of prayer. And it's transformation. And if we're not being transformed, then we are doing what you were just talking about. We're rigid. We're in the same place. We're not moving. Yeah. Oh, it's all complicated and et cetera.
Well, it's complicated, but you know, the transformation, I think, is just a series of day after day conversions.
Oh, I like that. Thank you. I think that's really good.
And some people say there's one conversion. I think that there's
many. I'm with you.
You know, tell me about your latest one.
Conversion.
Don't tell me about what happened in the fourth when you were 4 years old.
I can tell you when I was 7 and I came to Christ, and I can tell you how that happened, what that looked like, and that was important for me,
and
an important moment in time. It has deep meaning.
That has part of your
story. But that's part of my story. But yes, the continuing conversion day by day is equally important. If you don't have anything current to talk about in your faith journey, I think you need to look at that.
Right. And a lot of people who are not having those little conversions along the way don't like people like you who do. And that's why you get some of the trouble that you do.
Yeah. Well, and you too.
Well, myself too, because I'll have people say, "You're not the pastor that I remember."
Oh, I've heard. Yes, I know.
And I want to say to them,
good. I hope I'm not.
Good. Hopefully I'm being transformed in better ways.
Right.
But the things I necessarily held on to that back then have gone through a metamorphosis in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll continue to do that.
Yeah.
But my identity is still in Christ.
Yes. Oh, thanks. That was good. Good little sidebar here that we got into. I do want to say this, that some of you may not know this, but if you are listening to the podcast and something goes quickly by, especially a book that's mentioned, you can always go to anitalustria.com, or if you're listening via iTunes or Stitcher or Podbean, you'll have the show notes there where I do list the resources that are mentioned over the course of a podcast. Every once in a while I miss one, but I think I've been taking notes here, Mike, and have caught all the books you've mentioned so far. We're going to mention another one as we move along here too, and that will be noted in the show notes. As I mentioned at the beginning, I did want to go back and talk about what has transpired more recently in our world, and specifically here in the United States, North America, even though these figures that have been in the news lately are known worldwide. But we've had a couple of suicides, people who have died by suicide mentioned in the news, Kate Spade, and then more recently, Anthony Bourdain. And both have elicited from news media and journalists a host of articles being written, and which have brought up a variety of things. You and I probably, I'm not as much of a fashion plate maybe as I once was, and I never purchased Kate Spade purses, but I listened to a beautiful NPR call-in show this last week where women called in who knew exactly where they were and how old they were and how long it took them maybe to save up to buy one of these Kate Spade bags, or friends knew they loved them so much they, you know, put money together and bought one for a friend for a birthday or whatever. And it was just very interesting to listen to that and the influence of this fashion icon. And then Anthony Bourdain, I think, hit us a little bit closer to home. We watched his programs regularly. He was much more than a food guru, much more than a chef, which he certainly was. Right. But he was a social commentator, really.
He really was. He was a storyteller par excellence. He was a rascal. He could be profane. He could be tender. He cared about people on the margins. But in both Kate Spade's situation and Anthony Bourdain, they took their own life. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of that's always the shock when we see people on top of their game.
Or
we perceive that. Yeah. And they're gone by their own hand. Mm-hmm. And we don't quite know what to do with it, not quite what to say. But it reminds us, I think, of one is how do we care for ourselves? And then how do we really care for others?
I appreciated, Michelle Van Loon posted this, it might have been a repost of someone else, but on her Facebook page or Instagram, I don't remember, Twitter. Anyway, the thought that it's great to repost the suicide prevention hotline, and I think that's certainly important to do, and many have done that. But go to your friends, go to people who are close to you in your life and ask some beneath the surface questions. Go under the surface, not just the, you know, how you doing that gets the quick great or fine. But, and I think it also then begs the question of these people that we're talking about. And again, I want to also say that we recognize there are many more who are not in the news, not given, you know, big profiles in the news. Sure. And we recognize that. But I think it begs the question, are we developing deeper friendships? Is this a society issue?
Well, I think the deeper friendships...
Do we not know how to grow and build community? I think that this is what I'm seeing and thinking.
Right. And even, but it happens to even people who are in deep community that won't take that extra step to share, aren't able to take that extra step to share that deeper thing in their life. We think we know
That's
people,
a good
we
point.
Don't. You know, I've known people that were dear friends that came within a hair's breadth of dying by their own hand. Mm. And we think, well, wait a minute, I thought I knew everything about this person. So this is a really inexact science. It's more of an art form. But I think what you're saying is right. I remember, Anita, my first time I ever encountered suicide was I ran a youth group for a Catholic church in northern Minnesota. And a good group of kids. And we had this one girl that was kind of always on the edges of it. She grew up in a town nearby. She was short. She was heavy set, bad complexion, desperate for friends, but didn't know how. And you know how we are, especially when we're adolescents, sometimes people not being nice, but not really opening up. And I got a call one day, and just somebody said, hey, Debbie went to their barn last night and hung herself. And at the funeral, I remember some of the students and parents coming up to me and just saying what a horrible thing that she did. She's probably, you know, she's in hell now, you know, all these kind of things. And I just kind of lost it. And looked at them and said, it's a sad thing that she did. And I said, the harder reality for me to get my hands around is this. that how could somebody be with us for so long? And obviously so lonely. Mm. And we didn't invite her in because we didn't think she was cool enough or smart enough.
Or good looking enough.
Good looking enough, whatever it was. And I said, there's a sin in this.
It's ours.
It's ours to grab hold of and deal with because we just weren't there for her. Now, maybe that was a little bit strong, but I can't. I think people, you know, sometimes when you use, oh, they can't be here in God's hand if they took their own life, I ain't going to buy it. Mm-mm. I'm sorry. We just don't even know what's going on, and I just know God loves so much.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you're raising questions. Al Shee has written a wonderful book. I'm actually going to post it as our resource today, and it's called Grieving a Suicide. And the subtitle is A Loved One's Search for Comfort, Answers, and Hope. Because that's the big thing when someone dies by suicide, family and friends are left kind of, well, they're left grieving, certainly, but suicide raises so many questions. And some of the things that Al deals with in the book are the questions that get raised. We've raised some of them already. You know, why did this happen? Why didn't we see it coming? That's a huge one. Could we have done anything to prevent it? How can we go on? You know, these are some just a handful of the questions that are raised. And I remember when I first had John, my son, I had postpartum depression, but I didn't know it. I didn't know how to. It's talked about a lot more now today, which I'm grateful for. But I didn't understand what it was and didn't see that I had it. Months later, I saw a video that had been taken of me, about 6 months in, and I stopped right up and I said, oh my goodness, I was smiling. I look really happy. And, you know, the people watching the video and looked at me and said, well, yeah, what? That's an odd comment. And I stopped right up and I said, that is not how I felt inside. My mom joked about I'm going to take John and take him home with me. They lived, you know, 500 miles from where I lived at the time. And in my head, I remember thinking, that's not a joke to me. I wish you would. And I didn't know how to grapple with that thought, and I certainly didn't say it out loud to anyone around me.
Right. Well, it's hard to say that because sometimes in the circles we run in, nobody wants to hear a donor statement.
Yeah. I must have started pulling out of it. I just thought, well, this isn't appropriate to say to anyone. I can't believe I'm feeling this way. Maybe other people feel like this too, and no one talks about it. You know, I think we've got to get past the stigma that, you know, we can't talk about these untouchable topics in good company. No, good, close community is exactly where we must be talking about and reaching out for help.
Right. Some religious circles, certainly not all, people don't want to hear anything bad. We talked about Anthony Bourdain. I mean, I read his book. I mean, it's filled with words that we wouldn't use on this podcast. And they said, we don't want people like that in our lives. And I would say this, we have to have people like that in our lives if we're true to whatever it is Christ is calling us to do and be. I would have loved to have Anthony Bourdain tasting my world-famous pepper burgers, fully realizing who he was. And maybe I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I think sometimes we have this fear of people who are unlike us entering into our world, and then I don't know what happens.
Well, this is my thought that has come up more than once as I've watched some of the programs on Anthony Bourdain and some of the commentators. I've thought, because I think I just heard on one of his, it was either an interview or maybe he said this on one of his broadcasts, he was moving further and further away from fine dining.
Yes.
And that's always going to be a piece of me. I came from some of that, or, you know, that's in my history, whatever. But in watching how he rubbed shoulders with the marginalized, more than once I thought, here's a guy, yes, we've already mentioned, you just talked about, you know, a profane guy, but also one with deep compassion. And some of what he did sure did smell a lot like Jesus.
It very much did. I think we were just commenting on the fact that he did one piece, and his guest was
Barack Obama. Yeah,
it was in Vietnam, and it just
very interesting.
Just a regular place where they were having noodles,
yes,
and having a beer together, and it was very, very touching. Mm-hmm. But the point is, you know, he had the look of health, but there was something going on deep inside of him, and it caught his friends by surprise.
I know it.
So what, you know, what is it? What keeps us from saying the things that we really need to say, you know, to get the help?
And those people that we are in community with go that extra step, go that extra layer deeper. We want to be there. We want to help. And I guess that's all we can say,
yes,
you know, because of eventually, I mean, the bottom line, a person does have to choose to speak up and to tell people close to them.
Yes.
You're not a failure. I'm here to say you're not a failure for having these thoughts, for feeling this way. No way. And, you know, I think there's also the struggle with medication. Some medications help more than others. And, you know, it takes some time to figure that all out. But you are not a failure.
That's right. And so I think this is just a wake-up call.
Yeah.
The celebrities like this that capture the imagination of the public wake us up all up. And as you said earlier, we know there's all kinds of people that are not celebrities that have gone unnoticed, but just look around and say, who needs more of the Christ that I carry in me, in their life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then what can happen as a result of that?
Absolutely. So again, the encouragement to, you know, ask the one more question, go to the deeper level and ask a question, even if you feel awkward, because honestly, I think people feel and know that you care too when you ask that question, even when you feel like, oh, really, do I need to ask this? I don't think there's any problem with this friend. Surely not. They're not going to be offended. I don't think. Do you?
They could be. I mean, that's the risk that we always have to take. I mean, some people just don't want anybody in their business at all, and there is that question too far for them. But
I'm here to say, ask it anyway.
Yeah, keep asking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because just because they're mildly offended in the moment doesn't mean it wasn't a great question.
Right, that's good.
And the one that follows that one, he might be a better one.
Yeah,
and the one that follows, you know, that one,
yeah,
until they get to a point of being honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is I think we are a people of hidden secrets.
I know it. I know it.
You know,
it's true. It's,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to ask more.
Mm. Well, I wanted to make sure that we talked about that. I thought it was important following, you know, what's been talked about and heightened in the news in the past week or two. So thank you. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it on the podcast this week. We went a few different directions, and
we did.
I think that's just fine.
That's what we do often in our conversations.
In our conversations that aren't recorded, we go there.
You start with a critique of me, and I try to avoid that and take it in another direction.
Not true.
How about those Cubs?
Yeah. No, thank you. That's good.
We're doing well, by the way.
Okay. Hey, thanks. Really, seriously, thanks for being on the podcast this week. I appreciate it.
All right.
And to everyone else, whatever you've heard today, just keep the conversation going.
Yes.